Look, before I start to speak, I just kind of thought one never dreamt in a million years that one would be in an amphitheater or a coliseum such as this. So I'm just going to sing you a quick song, which is going to be, I think, great. And if any of you know it, please join with me. It's not in the songbook, but it's one of my favorite choruses. And it goes like this. All hail King Yeshua, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. Every day you give me breath, I'll sing your praises as I live with you throughout eternity. All hail King Yeshua, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. Every day you give me breath, I'll sing your praises as I live with you throughout eternity. As I live with you throughout eternity. There we go. That sound all right from up there? I hope so. Look, this is a very interesting tell. I mean, this, from my research and from listening to others speak, that this whole area goes back to about the 5th century B.C. And it has had many different nations in the area living here, the Canaanites, and of course in the time of King Saul and David, etc., that was the area of the Philistines. The Philistines basically occupied here, which were the traditional and the eternal enemy of Israel. And the Israelites found it very difficult to defeat the Philistines, and I don't think they did defeat them in this area. In fact, I believe that just about to the south and slightly west of here is Mount Gilboa. Am I correct?
Yes.
Or is it over this way? Is it? Yeah.
It is a little bit to the south.
Mm-hmm. And there was a famous battle that happened there in which King Saul was killed. And you would remember that King Saul was the first king of Israel, because Israel was a theocracy. And they wanted to be like other nations. So the Lord, being a gentleman that he is, stepped back and he says, I'll let you go ahead and be like other nations. And they went and appointed to the judges King Saul. And Saul was a very interesting character. I think he must have been paranoid right from the beginning, because here is a typical example of arrogance in action, reversionism in action. For this person was very self-conscious and didn't trust anybody. He probably was a man like some rulers that we have today, where they do a lot of funny things in order to protect their kingdom and their kingship. And Saul was that type of person. He was extremely jealous of David right from the beginning, when David, of course, killed Goliath. And Goliath was a Philistine, part of the Greek sea peoples that inhabited this region at that time. In fact, I think Saul wanted David to put on his armor so he would get obviously all the credit for going out against this uncircumcised Philistine. So anyway, we know that Saul went and sought the counsel of the witches of Endor, and we know that he pursued David an awful lot in his jealousy and his anger. And David, being a man of tremendous mercifulness, the way he was brought up, looking and tending the sheep as a young man, was well prepared for the events that were perhaps about to happen. And in spite of of the unnecessary vengeance that Saul had for David. David, kept his cool. He knew that Saul was his king. He didn't try to overthrow him or become a revolutionary or anything like that. He just quietly evaded the situation as much as he could. He had many opportunities, if you will remember the scriptures, where he could have put a spear through Saul at any time that he really wanted to. And I was speaking to some people today about one of the scenes that happened in one of the caves around in this area or in the Judean mountains where he was pursuing David, where David could have killed him quite easily. However, Saul in his arrogance, I guess the epitome of his arrogance probably happened in this Mount Gilboa that was not very far away, where there was a great battle. And I will share with you from the book of Samuel in chapter 31, the actual culmination of Saul's reign with his death. And as a result of his arrogance, he took down the crown prince and all those that were associated with him. Arrogance spreads far and wide, so it can actually encapsulate a lot of innocent people at that time, but people do have to make decisions. Gene was speaking to us at the last place about the fact that we reap what we sow, and here is an example of what Saul reaped as a result of his sowing during his kingship. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain in the Mount of Gilboa, which is just over here. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, which was the crown prince, and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. So the heart of his bloodline was slain at the same time. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. So the Philistines had a tremendous array of artillery, as we would know in those days. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw my sword and thrust me through." Here's a typical coward. He can't even die nobly. He's got to ask his armor bearer to go ahead and kill him because he's in such pain at this time. "Lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, and eventually he fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men, on that same day together, just at this place called Mount Gilboa. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So the Philistines basically were dwelling in this area. And then it came to pass on the morrow that the Philistines then went out to the battlefield to basically to go ahead and clear all the debris that's around the dead people. They basically stripped all the slain, and they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they went and cut off his head, and they stripped him off his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines whereabout to publish it in the house of their idols among the people. So basically they took Saul and his family that were slain, cut off their heads, and brought him to this place and displayed them for all to see, mainly, and their idols were Ashtaroth, and they were Baal worshippers, etc., and they went and displayed them in that area. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bashan. That's this place here. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh and Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, there were some valiant men from the Israelites that rose up and went into the night on a reconnaissance mission and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree in Jabesh and fasted for 7 days. So that was the final end of the reign of a very arrogant person. And How did David handle all this? Well, David lamented. David was a merciful man, and he didn't try to vindicate himself at this time or perhaps strut out and be the hero. He basically, in his humility, went and did this. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And you know, David was very close to Jonathan. They were extremely very good friends. Also, he bade them to teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. So, obviously, the need to have artillery with the Israelites. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Of course, we've all heard that in times past. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be rain upon you or your fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is violently cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. And from the blood of the slain, and from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, and they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothe you in scarlet and other delights, who put an ornament of gold upon your apparel. Now how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, thy love to me more wonderful, passing the love of women. How mighty the fallen and the weapons of war perish. So even in that most terrible disaster, when David had an opportunity to perhaps strut out in arrogance, gave a eulogy here of how great Saul was and how great his family and how wonderful he did do certain things with the family of the people of Israel. So perhaps just in conclusion, you know, Gene read to us from Galatians chapter 6 in verse 7. I'll just remind it to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For all that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And this really gets us back to the fact that we do reap what we sow. And if we don't perhaps reap it at this life, particularly as believers, at the judgment seat of Christ, to the extent that we have been merciful to our fellow men and to other men, the Lord will be merciful to us at that point in time. He's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? And I think a lot of us will find that we might not necessarily know the answer to that. But if we have been merciful to others, I'm sure that we will be able to answer him and say, I don't know, Lord, but I know that you knoweth. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Let us close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father and our God, as we come to this historic site today, and we realize that all the generations, thousands of generations that have passed through and around these walls today, we realize that you are the God of all the nations and of all people. And it's with this that we praise you for giving us the opportunity to stay in this place and to give glory and honor to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to sing in his honor as well. May God, O Holy Spirit, make real to us the things that we have studied in the book of Samuel and Galatians and in James, to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.